All right, here we go. Welcome back to Ground Zero Fitness Podcast. This is episode 31. Sitting here with Kyle up in Canada and Sam here. So we're going to talk a little bit about the biggest beginner fitness mistakes. And I'm kind of surprised that it took until episode 31 to actually have a podcast on beginner fitness mistakes that people make. I know that from the start of this thing, we've talked about a lot of those mistakes, but we haven't ever put it all into one so that you can avoid them as much as you possibly can. So I'm going to turn it over to Kyle. Let's just talk about a few different points here. But what do you think is like the biggest mistake beginners make?
Man, the biggest thing has to just be consistency. I wrote down a bunch of points here that I really want to dive into, but if you're talking about the biggest thing that beginners lack, it's just the consistency to understand that your goal cannot be reached or attained within 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 1 month, 2 months. Sometimes it takes longer than your 3 month goal that you first imagined. It may take 6 months, a year, maybe even like 5 years, but you just have to understand that working out is a lifestyle and you can't have this mindset of, hey, once I reach this goal, I'm just going to stop working out. It's not a means to an end. It's you got to do this for the rest of your life. But I think that would be the biggest thing if we're talking about the biggest mistake that beginners make. We can dive into more points in a bit, but what about you, Sam? What do you think?
Yeah, consistency for sure. I think the biggest mistake people make is the expectation of in the idea of what it's going to be like. Like you said, people plan to have, you see all of it online, the 8 week program, the 12 week program, that kind of stuff. So they expect that they're just going to get fit and they're going to have the body they want within 8 weeks. And that's just not the reality of the situation, you know? And I think that plays into how people struggle with the consistency, because it's easy to be consistent for 8 weeks, right? Like, anybody can find a program and do it for 8 weeks and they may see some results, but it is incredibly difficult to keep this stuff up for years on end and be consistent with it. So just having the expectation going into it that, hey, this ain't an 8 week program. This is a lifestyle change to improve your life for the better. That's something that people have to make that realization in order for them to be successful.
Mm-hmm. And the issue is, sorry for cutting you off, but the issue is if you do a program of a bodybuilder or whoever created the program, and the reason why you did it is because you think you're going to look like him in 12 weeks, you're completely wrong. And we don't want to burst your bubble, but it's just to get started. Like you can do any program just to get started, but that's about it. It's not to change your physique in one go.
Absolutely. So our first point here is program hopping. Though people come in and they try 10 different things, look at all sorts of new shiny objects, get online and find the latest 8 week program that bodybuilding.com or T Nation, or I don't know, what's a women's one?
I'm not sure.
Women's health posts. And then they try and go after whatever that they see that's a shiny object. And I think that's a big, big problem there, is bouncing from 6 week program to 8 week program to 2 week program. And what ends up happening is you never actually accomplish anything because you've never progressed something long enough to actually see real results.
Yeah. That's pretty much it. It's just like a lot of people will jump on a program for maybe 2 or 3 weeks. And then what happens is maybe you get a little bit of results. But what happens after 2 weeks of jumping onto a new program is right after the end of like the first week, start of the second week, middle of the second week, that's when you start getting results. And the reason for that is because the first week is just to adapt, right? Like you're adapting to a new program. You're adapting to new stimulus that you haven't had before. And that's why program hopping is such a bad thing, because it takes time to adapt. But once you get to that stage of adaptation where now you can start making results, you decide to leave the program. And now you're going on to a new set of exercises you never done before, trying them out for 2 weeks, and then getting ready for that stage of like gains. And then you're like, you know what? I don't like this program. I don't feel motivated. Let's jump onto a new program. And that's the biggest mistake. And you talk about like the shiny, it's like the shiny syndrome. Everyone has this problem. It's like the biggest problem with investing, the biggest problem with working out is just whenever people see a program and it says something like, I lost 40 pounds on this program, or my bench increased by 60 pounds, people tend to see that and want to try that program instead of what they're doing. But what they don't understand is if you just hop on a program, stay consistent with it, trust the process, you're going to get a lot more gains out of that than starting over every 2 weeks.
Yeah. And I feel like that's kind of a path that people take all the time, is they make the realization, okay, I need to change something. I need to change my body. So the very first thing that like anybody who doesn't have a lot of experience in fitness thinks about when they think about working out is like going on a run or treadmilling or something like that. So then you get on a kick of, I'm going to go run, I'm going to get on the treadmill, I'm going to get on an elliptical, I'm going to do that for a few weeks. And then you kind of like, if you get into it, then you look for ways to improve. But as soon as you start searching online, all you find is some article, again, like I was saying, on bodybuilding.com or T Nation, and it says you got to lift to, you know, start seeing your abs and start getting big muscles. So then you hop on that 8-week program, and then towards the end of that, you're finding that it's not working out that great, or you're seeing some gains, so you dive into it some more, and then you happen upon a powerlifting article and you're like, oh, I shouldn't be doing bodybuilding. I need to get strong first. So now I'm going to do a powerlifting thing. And then you start powerlifting for a while. And then you realize, well, that's not getting to where I want to be. So then you say, hey, I need more explosiveness to make my power lift better. So I'm going to do an Olympic lifting program. And then you never get good at anything at all. You just keep hopping. And I think that's a major problem. And that's why I really like just finding, that's why I think we all push those basic exercises and coming up with an intelligent way to split them up, figuring out how many days a week you want to work out, and then slowly progressing those main movements and adding in variations to hit your weaknesses. And then it's not like you're doing an 8-week program. It's sustainable because you're always changing certain variables based on what you need at a certain time. Mm-hmm. So if it's a matter of committing, I'm going to lift 3 days a week, I need to get these types of movements in X amount of times a week, and then I can change the variable based on what my goal is, if I want to attack my weaknesses or if I want to work top end strength or whatever. And then you just do that over and over, and you never actually have a real written in program. Yeah. As much as it is just slowly changing it. I think that's what a lot of us do, really.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, a big thing once you start working out is you realize, let's just say for the squats, that like, oh, my quads are not being, I don't know. Now I look back, like beginners cannot figure this out unless you have coaches there to tell you, hey, your quads are your weakness. Oh, your glutes are your weakness, whatever. But like if you have Avalon in that case, you can get a program check and we can tell you what your weaknesses are. I mean, not program check, what am I talking about? You can get a lifting video check. Make sure you're doing things properly. If you make a mistake or if you have weaknesses, coaches can tell you. And once you find out those weaknesses, then you would add it on top of your compound movements. And it's not that difficult because all you do is just push. You pull up a variation of the squat that targets more of whatever you need. But the thing is, like, people don't understand this whole process. And that's why we're trying to tell you that don't program hop. Instead, stick on one thing. If you do need something else, then go to a coach, ask for variation that will help you address the weakness you have. And that's it.
Yeah, exactly. It's almost just like figure out how many figure out what the ultimate goal is, and then just train for that at a constant level. And don't limit yourself to 4 weeks or 2 weeks or 6 weeks or whatever it is. Like, make it long term and sustainable. So program hopping, big time no-no. Sustainable programming based on your goals is what you should really be after, not a specific program.
All right, let's move on to the next point. I thought of one literally right as we were talking about program hopping, which is working out more does not attain more results. A lot of people that start working out think that if you work out 6 times a week compared to 3 times a week, you'll get double the results or double the gains. And this is why a lot of people will jump onto bro splits, because they think that working out more will get you more results, which is completely false. It's just all about hitting the volume you need, the sets, reps, weight, as well as making sure you're getting enough frequency to stimulate muscle growth. And frequency is just pretty much how many times you're hitting a workout or hitting a muscle group per week. Sam, you want to dive a little deeper into this or add something else?
Yeah, absolutely. I think the working out more doesn't attain any more results. Like, that's a huge key for people, because they expect, I need to start working out, so I need to do something every day. I need to do something. Maybe I need to do 2 a days. I can't even count how many times somebody's been like, yeah, finally found my motivation, I'm ready to go. I'm going to start lifting in the morning. I'm going to start running at night every day, going to the gym for an hour, doing all sorts of bodybuilding splits, whatever. And then they end up not doing it at all. And this is something we've probably hammered this home a million times, but it's so important, because you can go in and you can crash into trying to do a seven day a week program with 2 a days, but you are going to burn out within a matter of weeks, no matter what you're doing, you know? So whereas the guy who just says, okay, I'm going to work out 2 or 3 times a week, I'm going to progressive overload, I'm going to get my protein in, I'm going to progress these lifts, he's the one who's actually going to make the lifestyle change, compared to the guy who is just trying to, what is it, like a crash? I'm trying to think of the word. It's almost like crash dieting, but for training.
For training, yeah.
Yeah, you know, crash training. I don't know. Maybe I need to come up with a new term for that. But you know what I'm saying? It's less is probably more when it comes to training, in my opinion.
Yeah, it's a long-term mindset. Like, you brought it up earlier, but it's a long-term mindset. You can do 6 times a week, but you're going to crash real fast. Within like 2-3 weeks, you're going to feel the burnout, because you realize that, oh, I can only miss 1 day of workouts. Like, imagine only giving yourself leeway to miss 1 workout a week, like, or 1 day a week of workouts. Like, that's pretty hard. Like, I couldn't do it.
Yeah, that's not happening. It's literally the story of the rabbit and the turtle and the rabbit, or is that it?
Yeah, the turtle and the hare.
Turtle and the hare. That's exactly what it is. You know, if you're going to be the hare, you're going to charge into this thing 6 days a week, 2 a days, thinking you're going to make all sorts of changes, and you're going to end up crashing. Meanwhile, the turtle just slowly chugs along, getting his 2 to 3 workouts in it a week, eating his protein. And then a year later, the guy who tried to do it all at once is still fat, laying on the couch eating Cheetos. Meanwhile, the guy who slowly made changes and stayed consistent with it is looking big and juicy, or has lost a bunch of weight, depending on what your goal is, right? So
yep. All right, moving on to the next point, not eating enough protein. I know you want to dive into this first, so let's talk about it, Sam. I'll let you start off.
What I'm going to say about protein is, if you're listening to the government's advice on eating 50 grams of protein, you're incredibly wrong. And like, nutritionally, I've said this multiple times, I do not give a flying shit what you do when it comes to your nutrition. besides getting your protein in. Like, that's the one, like, all you have to do to see a ton of changes in your body is eat the protein that you need. And what is the recommendation that we always talk about? Gram per pound of body weight a day. Like, at this point, if you've been listening to all 30 episodes of this podcast and you're not eating a gram per pound of body weight a day, and I don't know what the hell you're doing. So needless to say, that is like the bare minimum nutrition advice. It's going to change everything for you, whether you believe it or not. So if you want to expand on that, maybe a little bit more tactfully than I did right there.
I just wrote it down more like structured just in case, but I pretty much said like a big mistake that most beginners make is just not understanding the importance of protein, because protein is the building block of muscle and just as important as working out. So the biggest thing is, let's say you're working out, but you're only eating like 60 grams of protein a day when you're like 150 pounds. Well, that's pretty counterintuitive. Or the example I made was like, what did I say? I wrote it down here, but it's like, if you have the option, if you're in a 2-lane highway or 3-lane, whatever it is, it's like purposely choosing to sit in the congested lane when the lane beside you is free. And the reason why I said that, it's because you have the option to make quicker progress, like take the shortcut, man. But then you decide, you know what? No, I want to suffer. I want to wait through this. I want to progress at my rate at an extremely slow pace. But like the option's right there. So if you work out, you gotta eat the protein, because it goes hand in hand. You can't do one without the other. And it's like the perfect marriage, protein and working out. Combine them.
Yeah. And really both of them without each other are kind of pointless.
Yeah.
You know,
yep.
Even though I'd argue that if you had a sedentary person and you just started making them eat more protein on top of, instead of the other groups like carbs, yeah, and that kind of thing, it would help a ton. But like having both of them is just a fast track, you know?
Yep.
See, because eating protein and working out makes it so like you're the hare, not the turtle, but the hare is actually fast and he wins the race. Like the hare is probably just missing protein or working out, right? So because if he had both, then he would just blow the turtle out of the water. But anyway,
yeah. that's yeah. Hilarious. You flipped it on its head from what we said previously.
So if you're not confused, they're going to be like, well, am I supposed to be the turtle or am I supposed to be the hare?
Well, I guess that's for them to figure out.
Yep. Good luck with that, everybody.
Well, expanding back on the protein part is just like most people are unaware of how much protein they're eating because, well, like it's hard to tell. Like if you're eating a piece of chicken that's like the size of your hand, you're like, how much is that? Like, is that 6 ounces?
Chicken protein doesn't count.
Is that 6 ounces? Is that 8 ounces? How many grams is that? Whatever. The most important thing that a beginner can do is just track, understand how much protein you're eating. It's hard to use the labels when you're looking at Whole Foods. Not many places do have nutrition labels for Whole Foods other than like Costco. I know Costco does it for chickens, other stuff. But the most important thing is just to weigh out your food and track how much protein you're actually getting in a day. And then maybe 2 weeks later, you kind of have better understanding of all your protein sources and can understand that, hey, the chicken breast the size of my hand is 50 grams of protein or whatever. And you kind of have that idea of all I need is 3 of those a day if you're 150 pounds and I will hit my protein goals. So what else did I put here? I pretty much said that like if you struggle, eat whole foods. An 8-ounce steak is 57 grams of protein. An 8-ounce chicken breast is 61 grams of protein. Don't tell me you can't eat enough protein, because man, 3 chicken breasts, that's 1.5 for lunch, 1.5 for dinner, however you want to split it. Like that is not difficult to get into your body if you're 150 pounds.
No, Yeah, exactly. And there's absolutely no excuse to not get enough protein. And something that I do is just have a knowledge of multiple protein sources that get you around 50 grams of protein. Mm-hmm. Like you said here, an 8-ounce steak is 57 grams of protein. So if you buy a package of steak that's 24 ounces total, it usually says so on the package, then you know, hey, I have 150 grams of protein in here. You cut that into thirds, each one's around 50. You know, so then you just add those on the day. You know that if you eat 6 eggs and some Greek yogurt, you can get to close to 50, right? So then you just add those meals together, and it's so easy. And it's not actually that much food when you think about it, getting to that 150 mark or getting to that 200 gram mark. So building the knowledge of how much protein is in certain foods and what is high protein foods can really make that whole process easier. Cause I feel like beginners, it's difficult for them to, a lot of people think eating a bunch of protein is hard. Mm. And I just, like you said, it's literally 3 chicken breasts. Or I'm not sure who the hell wants to eat 3 chicken breasts in a day.
That's true. I don't know why I use that as the example.
But you could, you know. So it's like 6 to 8 eggs get you, 8 eggs get you 50. So if you eat those, and then you say, I'm going to eat 8 ounces of steak too, there's another 50. And then maybe you do want chicken breast for dinner, and you eat an 8-ounce chicken breast, boom, there's 150, right? So it's easy to add that stuff up, and you don't even have to, after a while, you just get to the point where you're like, I know that I hit over 200 grams of protein based on what I ate today. That's kind of how I go now. Mm-hmm. I don't necessarily track it to the gram. Like, I'm not saying 61 grams, but I know that each one of these meals had over 50 grams of protein, which means I'm over 200 grams in my day.
Yeah.
But it does take tracking it at the beginning.
Exactly. It takes tracking to get to that intuitive eating part.
Yeah, what did we say in one of the previous podcasts? Earn your intuition.
Yeah.
Exactly
that. Yep. You gotta earn your intuition. You gotta learn everything prior before you can do all the fancy neat tricks of dieting or whatever. All right.
Exactly.
Next point. Thinking of new ideas mid-program. So I guess I'll start us off with this, and then you can elaborate, or you can talk about your standpoint. But what it means to think of new ideas mid-program is, like, a lot of beginners, this kind of ties back into the first point we mentioned, which was program hopping. But it's pretty much when beginners start working out, 2 to 3 weeks in, if they're on a program, sometimes they either lose trust, or they're impatient, or they think they learned something else that the program creator doesn't know. So they try adding their own special twist into it. So at this point, you're not even working on what the program gave you. You're literally adding stuff that may be even counterintuitive to what the program creator intended for in the first place. And that's a big problem, because a big thing about being a beginner is you don't know a lot, right? You're blindly following, hoping that a program works. Well, if you start learning a little bit here and there, your information may be a little tainted because you've never actually applied it. You don't have any proof that it works yet, other than someone on a forum saying this is good for you. So whoever created the program knew what he was doing, or at least I'd hope they knew what they were doing, to the point where if you were to add an exercise, it would probably make you too fatigued for your next workout. Or if you even added the wrong exercise, it may take away from your programming. So if you're a beginner and you follow a program, let's just say starting strength, and it tells you 3x5 bench, 3x5 squats, and was it 1x5 deadlifts, right?
Yep.
if you're following that, and then you decide that you want to add, I'm just going to think of weird stuff, but like drop sets or joker sets, and then you want to add like 4 to 6 accessories on top of that to hit all your weaknesses. Well, that that's completely taking away from the main part of the program, which is just keep it simple, stupid. So a big thing about working out and going on a program is just trust the process, stick with what the creator of the program wrote, and stop messing around and trying to add variations because you think you know better than the guy who created the program, because you probably don't.
Yeah, I like the starting strength example is really good, because it's the program is so simple that people don't believe it works. Like when you train somebody with through the starting strength program and you get them in the gym for the first time and you walk in and you do 3 sets of 5 squats, and then you do 3 sets of 5 on the bench, and then you work them up to 1 set of 5 on the deadlift, and then you tell them to go home and sleep and I'll see you in 2 days. They're like, wait, that's it? And you're like, can't we do some core work? Can't we do some arms? Can we do some conditioning circuit? And you're like, no. Because that is counterintuitive to what we're trying to do here, which is building strength. And yeah, this was your second or third workout, and it feels easy because the weights are still light. But wait 2 to 3 months when the weights start getting real heavy and you have to unrack that 3rd set of 5 on the squats and you have no idea if you can do it or not. Like, that's where the actual progress is made. I can't even count them. Like, when I would do this with, especially, okay, I don't want to be sexist or anything about this, but like when women come into the gym and you get them on starting strength, what are they used to when they have a trainer in the gym or they go to a fitness class? Like, hot and sweaty, doing light weights, moving around a bunch. You don't get no breaks between workouts. You're doing circuits. Like, that's what they're used to. Like, that's what they think working out is. So then when you have them in there and you're like, you warm them up with sets and then you do 3 sets of 5 and you take 2 to 3 minutes between each set of basically them just standing there, they're like, this doesn't make any sense because I'm not getting hot and sweaty. Like, we need to, can we do some planks between sets or something between? No, we can't. We're focusing on these squats specifically. We want all of your energy and focus on these 3 sets. So that's a conversation that I've had to have with multiple people is like, no, we're not adding in extra arm work. We're not adding in ab work. Your abs are getting worked plenty during these squats and deadlifts. It's fine. You know, you're a beginner. We're building this habit. We're getting you in here consistently 3 days a week. We're progressively overloading, doing all the things that we talk about, without adding in all the extra bullshit. And so it's easy when you have that under control with people. But here's something, like with your own clients, have you ever had, you've laid out the program for them and then they do the workouts and then eventually they'll be like, hey, I added in like a superset of arms or a superset of core or whatever after blah, blah, blah. And then you're like, idiot, why did you do that? That's ruining your recovery for the next one. Or you have a Monday workout and a Wednesday workout, but they decide on Tuesday that they're going to do a bunch of sprints and pull-ups in the park or something, and then try and go into their workout on Wednesday. Have you dealt with that? Because I have with clients, and sometimes they just do stuff randomly that hurts their recovery.
So I've had them ask me about like a certain workout or an exercise. So they would see something on, I'll give an example. So one of them saw an ab workout or an ab exercise, whatever, an ab workout on Instagram. And I think it was like five, it was ridiculous. It was like 5 different exercises on the abs. What is it? Like 30 seconds for each exercise, no rest. It's just like complete the 5, then you have 30 second rest. It's just ab circuit, whatever. He asked me, hey, I want to include this in my workout. Should I do it? I wanted to just say no, but I realized that I had to educate this guy on why I would say no before saying no. So instead I was like, hey, look, like we have all this stuff in our program already. I've got you hitting abs through doing planks and side planks and other stuff. And those are great applicable movements to stabilizing your core, to making sure that you don't have lower back pain. The actual stuff that will work and trust me, if you do the dieting part, you will have abs. You will have abs. So I told him, if you add those that workout into your current workout, you're going to get burned out. And why are you going to get burned out? Because it's going to fatigue the living crap out of you. You're already sweating. You're already taking pictures and sweating before doing the ab workout. Now imagine adding it back on top, and imagine how you're going to feel 2 days from now. So I tried my best to educate and tell him, don't do it. It's a mistake. And a big thing is understanding that abs also do not require that many exercises for you to build them. Dude, it literally only takes one exercise, a workout. Like, I literally only do one core exercise, maybe every other workout. And that's it.
Yeah.
But yeah, that is a big problem when people think of new ideas mid-program, and then they'll be like, hey, can I add this in? Can I add that in?
Yeah. And like, for me right now, especially I'm working on, you know, my squats, deadlift, and press pretty hard. And I've got like a floating day that my coach programmed in there where it's kind of just one of those days that you can do some arm work and some ab work and some whatever
bodybuilding
that you want to do. Yeah. Something that doesn't really, one of the days that doesn't really actually matter. So I thought it'd be a great idea. do you do ab rollouts at all? Ever?
Ab rollouts? You know
what I'm talking about?
Is yeah. Ab wheels?
Yeah. The ab wheel.
Okay. Yeah. Yep.
You ever do that?
Yep.
So I thought it'd be a good idea. Got an ab wheel, and I don't directly train my core that often. Right. So I thought a great idea was like doing like an AMRAP to see how many ab rollouts I could do in one set. And I don't know, it was like 30 or something. Ended up being like that. Well, anyway, like my core was absolutely on fire.
Shattered.
And this was Saturday. It was just shattered on Sunday, right? And then I have heavy squats on Monday.
Oh no.
Now, I couldn't brace as hard as I wanted to because my like deep in the core was just sore as fuck from those ab wheels. So then my squats weren't as good because I couldn't brace as hard. So like literally what we're talking about right now, I have even done by sabotaging what you're actually going for, which is getting stronger at the squat and stuff by doing some stupid ab workout, right?
Yeah.
I'm actually guilty of this right now speaking to you guys, which is, I thought that's pretty funny. But that also was like, hey, maybe I should do a little bit more of that kind of stuff if I'm getting that sore from that, you know? So it was kind of a little two-way street. Mm-hmm. But
yeah.
Yeah.
But everything has an opportunity cost. You add in an exercise, it's taking away from another exercise. So all in all, be careful.
So
be
you
careful
gotta...
of adding.
Exactly. All right. What's next?
If you take more than a week off, you're not consistent enough. And this may step on a few feathers. It's just understanding that a big thing about working out is just understanding that this is a lifestyle. You got to make it non-negotiable. Like, there's no ifs or buts. Like, oh, I went through a breakup. Oh, I can't think of any other examples right now. But like, just as bad as it can get sometimes, you still got to understand that workouts are non-negotiable. And not only is it for the physical aspect of getting stronger, but a big part of working out is actually understanding that it's a mental journey too. Like, you're giving yourself an hour break during the day, like literally an hour of doing absolutely nothing except for worrying about getting the weight up. Like, that's all you're worrying about. So a lot of people that may have mental problems like anxiety, like I suffered with anxiety for a bit, like working out is perfect for that. And I'm not saying like, I'm not trying to prescribe working out as the perfect beneficiary of, or the perfect, solution for depression or mental health problems, because I don't know anything about that. But if you understand that working out can help you with your mental health, your physical health, then you got to understand that if you keep it consistent, even during the times where you feel down, it will get you out of that situation slowly but surely, because you're taking that hour of your day to just focus on yourself. And that's probably the best thing you can do for yourself. So understand that if you take more than a week off, I say more than a week because a week is usually a deload. So taking a week off is understandable, but if you're going to take more than that, if you start creeping into the 2 weeks of not doing anything, then you better catch yourself and understand that, hey, you're seriously hindering yourself here. You're probably falling off the wheel. You're not making any progress, because if you take more than a week off, like, dude, you're not consistent enough. So understand that this is a non-negotiable. You can quickly fall to that. You can quickly get caught up in that downward spiral of negative habits. And a month in, maybe all your fitness goals aren't there anymore because you decided to take more than a week off.
Yeah, all really good stuff there. Obviously, from a mental standpoint and from a physical standpoint of like recovery, taking time off can sometimes be good. Now, let's talk about something else, which is, you know, people will say they have a vacation or something like that for a week or so. That's oftentimes a point where people fall off from their program and from consistency. Okay, I'm going to go on vacation for a week or whatever, and then you stop doing it. And once you get back, you feel like shit and you don't want to get back into it. And I just feel like that's a terrible excuse. Like, for instance, right now, I just drove from South Dakota to Idaho, made a stop in Rapid City, South Dakota, made a stop here. And guess what I haven't missed over the course of like 4 weeks? A single workout. It's been like, if you're traveling, it's a road trip. Like, it's incredibly fun to find a gym somewhere and work out there and whatnot. A lot of times hotels have gyms. So like, there's literally no excuse for you not to get a workout in if you're traveling or something like that. And I know for a fact that people fall off from going on vacations or going on a business trip or something and then never actually returning to it. So that's something there. It's like, if you want to make this a priority, then you will find a way to work out to some capacity and you won't take a week off. Like, even a deload week, I'm never not going into the gym.
Yeah, you're not doing nothing.
Like, if you're in BFE, bum fuck nowhere, it's some little hotel and there's no gym there, like, there's nothing stopping you from waking up in the morning and doing an AMRAP set of push-ups and doing an AMRAP set of bodyweight squats and then moving on. That's going to keep you in it a little bit, at least, you know? Stuff that I had to do when I traveled like all spring this summer with the baseball thing, you know, it'd be like, well, I'm in this small Midwest town. There's no gym here. The hotel doesn't have a gym. So, okay, well, I'm just going to get on the floor, see how many pushups I can do in one set, see how many air squats I can do or whatever. So if you're going to make it a priority, you can. So I just like avoiding taking a week off from not doing anything in general is going to be a big key.
Yeah. And just sticking with the lifestyle of
being healthy.
Still, like, if you don't have the exact same equipment that you want at a hotel gym that you would have in your home condition, like, just do the bare minimum. Try to get whatever you need to in. It's just about getting your body moving. It's more than getting strong. Like, Sam and I love getting strong, but it's more than that. It's just maintaining a healthy lifestyle and understanding that you got to stay healthy. You got to stay moving. Like, humans are made to move. We're not made to sit on our asses as we're doing now and creating podcasts and sitting on the couch for like 8 hours a day. Like, our bodies are not meant to do that. So get moving and understand that this is a healthy lifestyle.
Yep. So then moving on to don't skip the process of being a beginner. I feel like there's a stigma that being the beginner that doesn't know anything or doesn't know where to start or doesn't know their progression, like, it's like a bad, you know, people are like, man, I don't know at all. But like, we need to flip that. When you're a beginner, it's like fuck yeah, I have so much opportunity to grow. Like there is, I'm at a bare bone, bare minimum. I don't know anything, nothing at all. Like think of all the habits and all the stuff that you can stack when you're a beginner. Cause when you're a little bit more advanced like us, we're focusing on little tweaks, like rep ranges, RPEs, just tiny little things. But when you're a beginner, it's like, let's slonk a bunch of protein. Let's start, you know, progressive overloading the simple stuff. And you see a rapid changes. Like you should be freaking excited when you're first starting. Not, it shouldn't be like this beginner wall in front of you. Like I have so long to go. You should be looking at it like, look at this opportunity that I have to get a head start on this lifestyle change that's going to propel me the rest of my life. Like that's the stigma that it needs to be when you're a fitness beginner, not like, oh man, I'm worried about getting started or I'm scared of getting started. There's this big wall in front of me. I have so much weight to lose. I have so much muscle to gain. I want to see my six pack. No, like let's be excited about being a beginner. So like it says here, just don't skip that whole process because it's an incredible opportunity for you.
Mm-hmm. Sam, don't you wish you were a beginner again?
100%. I wish I could just add 5 pounds to my lift every day and eat protein. And, you know, that's like the best time. And you can literally, you like watch your muscles grow. Whereas now you just fight and fight and fight and fight for just tiny little minuscule gain, right?
Yep.
Back in the days, it's like adding 50 pounds to your lift in a month. Yeah, that'd be sweet.
Yeah. Like this, that's the stigma most people have. But if you ask anybody that's been lifting for a while, they wish they were beginners. And the reason why is like, dude, like I don't want to learn all this stuff about RPE, RIR. I don't want to learn about programming and figuring out volume and percentages. Like that is not fun. Like, trust me, you don't want to get into that phase where you start realizing, oh shoot, adding 5 pounds every week doesn't work anymore. I've got to do something else. And then you got to start learning more things. You got to fix up a lot. You got to make those small tweaks that you didn't have to make as a beginner. And those small tweaks only add a couple pounds to your lift. And then you got to learn all that stuff about programming, understanding why you should do this, and then experimenting what works for you. Like it's a whole damn process. And trust me, like it's fun that you're learning something new, but it's not fun to see your progress grow a little slower or a lot slower than you did when you were a beginner. And
yeah,
that's the issue. It can be
discouraging. Like you can set up a 3 or 4 month training block to try and hit a new PR. And then when you go for that PR, you don't even hit your previous.
Yeah.
Like that's what happens when you become an advanced, when you start being advanced. Whereas when you're a beginner, it's like you're going to hit a PR basically every session for a while. So it becomes a grind the farther you get into it. So just be uber excited that you are a beginner and don't be timid or afraid because there's so much to be gained from that. Like I think that's the message that isn't pushed across enough. Like it's almost a bad thing. And I think fitness trainers, we talk about it online and, you know, we shit post about, you know, people that don't know what they're doing. And you'll obviously get online and people post videos of stuff that noobs are doing in the gym. And so just there's an overall stigma that's bad to be the noob, but it is the best opportunity, man.
Yeah, that you could possibly ask for. So much fun. Another thing I want to add is like, with that whole thing of don't skip the process of being a beginner, don't get out of that phase too soon or too quickly. Like if you're still seeing your lifts increase by 5 pounds or 2.5 pounds or whatever it is, 5 pounds, 10 pounds every week, don't change a thing. Like if it ain't broke, don't fix it. Because a big mistake you can make, at least I made this mistake, is thinking that you have to move on to a different program because it's slowing down. And what I mean by that is when I first started out, first 6 months is gravy. But what I didn't understand was that each lift that you have may progress at a different rate. So my bench press was starting to plateau from the progressive overload, but my squat and deadlift were not done yet. So what happened is I jumped onto an intermediate program way too quickly because I started plateauing on the bench. Now, the issue there is that I still had a lot more gains to squeeze out of doing squats and deadlifts. But then I decided, you know what? No, we're an intermediate now. And that's the biggest mistake you can make, because when you're an intermediate, when you're an advanced lifter, like your progress, the program is specifically made to hopefully increase by X amount of weight over 6 weeks, 8 weeks, 10 weeks, 12 weeks. Now, the progress you make on an intermediate program will never be as drastic as if you were just a beginner doing progressive overload. So no matter how many gains you're making from doing an intermediate program, it will always be less than what you can make by just progressively overloading every week. And that was a mistake I made, because I hindered my squat and I hindered my deadlift because of my thought that, hey, I've been doing this for a while now. I'm not a beginner anymore. So just understand that you want to be a beginner. Like, be happy that you're a beginner, because those gains are magical. Like, it literally feels like steroids. Like, imagine every week your bench press goes up by 5 pounds, your squat goes up by 10 pounds. Like, that is insane. And I always wish that could happen again. So don't jump into that intermediate phase too quickly. Like, you're a beginner. The length of time it is to be a beginner is like a year. Like, I'm going to be completely honest. Like, you're going to be a beginner for a year, maybe even more. And if it's more, then props to you. Like, you hit the genetic lottery. Like, you want to be a beginner for as long as possible, because imagine progressive overload just working forever. Like, that is magic.
Yeah. Milk the magical beginner gains as long as possible. So, mm-hmm. Absolutely. And going into this podcast, I knew that we were going to be talking about the beginner mistakes. So I naturally made a post on Twitter asking my followers and everybody, what are the worst beginner fitness mistakes that you see? And we picked and chose a few of the best responses that we wanted to share with everybody here. Kyle, you were a big fan of Will Newton's one, if you want to talk about that one.
It just pretty much says too much of everything too soon, and literally directly relates back to the point that we talked about. Don't skip the process of being a beginner, but also tying into everything else. It's like thinking of new ideas and stuff. Don't overwhelm yourself at the start. Keep it consistent for a long ass time. That's pretty much
it. Yeah, exactly. Good response there. One that I liked was by Defining Dad Bod, who, by the way, he has a podcast, Defining Dad Bod does. It's his profile on Twitter is at Defining Dad Bod. He's got one. He talks about basically like fitness and being a dad. It's a really, really high quality podcast that he does a good job of. So if you're interested in that, you should definitely check it out. But he said, gung-ho off and on with little consistency. So that worked back to the point that we have already made. Chasing a short-term transformation rather than long-term progress. Another thing that we kind of talked about, like, it's a lifestyle. It's not an 8-week program. Thinking of fitness as a means to an end rather than integrating their goals and practice with a powerful vision of future of a high quality quantity of life. I think that's a big one. Like, instead of just thinking of fitness as I'm going to do this so I can get abs, it's like, no, we're doing this so we can have a long quality life. Right. So I thought that was a really good response by him.
Yeah, that was a great response. Another one I really liked was Ty. He's been on the podcast before. Avalon Coach at Ty Romper on Twitter. He said going 2 weeks after being sedentary for 20 years and getting frustrated and quitting because of a lack of results. And then pretty much what we talked about in the beginning of the podcast, getting frustrated too quickly. Understand Absolutely. That it's a long-term game. Don't quit after 2 weeks. That's ridiculous.
Yeah. And that like ties into the be exciting about being the beginner instead of being disappointed after 2 weeks. Know that you've got a long ways to go and a lot of opportunity there. So, and then Rob, who also has been on the podcast, said too many workouts, exercise, set. So that's like kind of like what we talked about doing, you know, 6 days a week and doing all sorts of different exercises, bodybuilding splits, when all you need is just a simple linear progression and progressive overload. Using too much weight early on. I know like there's like an ego thing, especially with guys who want to be benching what they did in high school. So they like try and load on 225 or 315 and bench it. They fail miserably. And then bad form. Obviously, we've talked a lot about that. Having bad technique, that doesn't get you anywhere. So, yeah, man.
Yeah, we
pretty good little some
great points, and this was quite an episode. I don't know how long this was, but I think it's reaching an hour.
Reaching an hour, perfect. So, there is the episode on beginner mistakes. As always, you can find us on Twitter, which is probably where you found us through. And at the same time, take a peek into Avalon, the online fitness community.
I'm just hoping
that you would say it sometime.
I'm not saying it. I'm going to erase it out of my memory, like Men in Black style, just like shoot me with the gun, erase my memory. I don't know what you meant.
Dang it. So, speak into that. We will talk to you next time.